It's the time of year when Londoners flock to the banks of the Thames to enjoy the hot weather. It's also a time when the RNLI appeals to people to adhere to its key safety messages, respect the water and float to live. Tower London and Chiswick remain the country's busiest lifeboat stations. I was lucky enough to spend the afternoon with Teddington RNLI. Tim James is one of the founding crew members of the station, which was launched in 2002.
How has the Thames been during pandemic, where it's obviously been people have been in lockdown, to the last couple of weeks where people have been coming out of lockdown and using the water and the riverside more?
If anything, it was busier during lockdown completely, because as the first few weeks started, people had nowhere to go. People weren't going away. They were sort of either self-isolating, kids were at home from school, parents were furloughed, and they just they started off just swimming, and then as the weeks progressed, you see more and more inflatable paddleboards, kayaks, inflatable kayaks, dinghies, people swimming, which is fantastic. But a lot of them are buying these and not, you know, some people obviously know what to do, which side of the river to go on. You need to stay to the right, always stay on the right of the river. If you get large vessels coming down the river, avoid them, get out of the way. People are swimming as well. They swim across the river. And I was on my boat a few weeks ago, saw a guy who was clearly very fit. His son was paddling behind him. He was swimming. And then a less fit friend was swimming across the river. Got to in the middle. I could see him turn on his back. And you can see people go from horizontal swimming on top of the water to almost their arms coming up out of the water and pulling themselves to try and stay on top of the water. He was getting very tired, flipped on his back. So I started the engine on the boat, just in case. He then made it by swimming on his back to the other bank. I carried on doing what I was doing. Looked out, they swam back. He was in the middle, looking like he was taking his last breath. And the young lad, who was probably about 10, paddled out in the kayak, gave the kayak to his uncle, or the relative, and then effectively rescued him. You know, but it's as simple as that. I mean, people still, even when the water's... and testament to this is last year, hottest day of the year last year, there were 4 deaths on the Thames because people go swimming, and the top sort of foot of water, sort of half metre, is quite warm. But as soon as your body becomes vertical, the water's very cold underneath. It doesn't really warm up because it's moving.
Do you think there is enough education? Council education to residents, and also education in schools, kids who go to school, live by the river... Can more be done?
We have a really, really active education department here. I think last year we had, just at the station, probably 1,200 kids throughout the 12 months being educated, but that's a tiny, tiny amount. So more and more is being taught in schools, and they're doing a great job. The Port of London Authority recently put signs up because of all the new activity on the river, telling people what to do, but people need to read the signs or seek out the advice. You know, just be proactive. If you're going to buy a boat, or you're going to buy a kayak or a dinghy or a paddleboard, do some research. There's loads of information out there. Port of London Authority from the lock down to the sea, and the Environment Agency from the lock up to Oxford. People, again, there's new learning coming out, and where the river's tidal, which is where we are now and going out towards London, the water's not moving much at the minute. But when it does, and you have the ankle leash on, people become... unstable, they fall off. And if you've got a structure, now looking across here at the, you know, this pontoon, if you imagine the paddleboard goes one way and you go the other way, you're now feet first towards the flow of the river, and you've got the water flowing into your face, and you've got no, if it's quite strong, you've got no way of reaching the leash. So what people are saying now is you wear a chest strap with the leash on, and that you can, your arm will always be able to get to your chest. And you pull that, you can release yourself. Your board's going to go one way, you'll go the other way, and hopefully you get out. But again, if you're on a kayak, on a stand-up paddleboard, you really should be wearing a PFD, a personal flotation device, or some sort of life jacket which you can deploy if you go in the water. Because again, even the strongest swimmers, I've got friends who live not too far from here who were practicing for the Devices to Westminster kayak race. So they're really strong swimmers, strong paddlers, and they came past me, I was working on my boat, and I said, oh, you got a life jacket on. They went, no, we don't need one. 1 hour later, they were just here, and They came over the rollers. They tried to make the turn to get onto this pontoon and back into here, into this slipway. They rolled. This was earlier in the year, so it was very cold. They just managed to get on the pontoon. They're now freezing. They were there for half an hour because the gate was locked. They then decided to dive in and try and make here. The water was doing, say, six, seven knots, maybe. One of them made it to the slipway and then had to basically throw something to get the other one out. Now, I'm not going to tell you who they are because that would be telling, but they now wear life jackets or buoyancy aids.
And swimming in the Thames, what is the view, the RNLI's view on it? I'm guessing people shouldn't just be thinking, oh, I'll just go in, because like you said, even in the summer, the water is cold, and do people realise how cold that water is?
A, they don't. Until they jump in and they put their toe in and think, oh, that's lovely, jump in, oh, suddenly cold, you get the cold water shock, you can inhale air, inhale water, and if you inhale water into your, aspirate water into your lungs, that can cause an aggravation in the lungs, cause food on the lungs, and you could die from secondary drowning. Sounds grim, but, and it is, you know, dying from secondary drowning is not very pleasant. But if you decide to swim, and it's not against the law to swim in the river, and yeah, great, enjoy it. If you are actively swimming, the toe floats. You wear a hat if you're going to swim properly, and you swim near the edge. Don't swim out to the middle, because there are very large boats, they're called Class 5 passenger boats, that come down the river. They can't manoeuvre into shallow water. If you're taking up the middle of the river, either in a boat or a kayak or swimming, they've got to avoid you, which they run the risk of going aground. So if you are going to swim, stay close to the bank, use a tow float, or if you're paddling around, just jump in, swim. Now, jumping off structures like bridges, the end of the lock, that's when you get danger, because you're going to go quite deep into the water. You don't know what's under the water. You don't know how deep the water is. You look now and you think, oh, the water looks quite deep. Many years ago, we did the fish lapping dance. We reenacted off the end of that bullnose of the lock. I was hit with a 25-pound semi-frozen salmon. And I didn't go into the lock. I got hit and I went into the water. Showing off, I did a back somersault as I went in. Then my hands hit the riverbed. That's how shallow it was.
I was going to say, tombstoning is another thing that people like to do.
Tombstoning is, again, quite a dangerous activity because, again, you're going to go down deep into the water. You don't know what's underneath. There's all sorts of, you know, shopping trolleys, sunken boats, bits of metal, stuff that really will cut you to shreds. And also, there are currents under the water. So you might get a flow of water over the top. If the tide's going out, it's going to be going out underneath, and that's what can take you. So if you're going to go in and use the river safely, do it from the bank. Don't jump in. So the young girl we're talking about, it was just down here, and she was jumping in, got out, jumped in, banged her head as she went in. She went underwater, and you know, thankfully, her brother was on hand to go in and get her. Because again, if no one sees you go underwater, no one knows, you know.
And just remind the listeners how cold the water is again. I mean, obviously in winter you'd expect it, but it's still freezing in summer.
Yeah, it's...
And how long you've got once you're in the water and you get into difficulty?
They say medically you need to be in water that's colder than... If the water's colder than 14 degrees centigrade, you're going to get what's called cold water shock. Okay, that's when you get that sort of intake of breath. Okay, what then happens as well is your arms and legs get cold and you get what's called vasoconstriction. That's when the blood goes from your arms and legs and extremities to your core to keep your heart and your lungs and your vital organs warm. That means you've got no oxygenated blood in your muscles. No oxygenated blood. And if anyone's ever been rock climbing and holding themselves up, you get what's called, you basically, your arms get tired and you fall off and you fall onto a mat. That's fine. In the river, you just go under. So that's what can happen. Again, if you're swimming close to the bank and you can put your feet down, always wear something on your feet because there's all sorts of broken glass, bits of metal, and when it's cold, you won't feel yourself cutting your foot open, okay? You're not going to attract sharks, that's not a problem, but there's all sorts of, you know, microbes and organisms which will get into the cut and make it quite bad. So there's lots of things to think about there, but the key thing is use the river, enjoy it, use it safely, and if you see someone in trouble, don't be tempted to dive in and get them. Call 999 ask for the Coast Guard and give your position, and also keep your eye on the person, because if they go under, you are the last person to see where that person went.
And it's floating to live, isn't it? If you're in the water, you would panic, but the best thing you can do is just float.
Yeah, basically, when people jump in and they get that, again, the cold water shock, they tend to start scrabbling. And this often happens when they jump in and it's unexpectedly cold, or they slip and fall in unexpectedly cold. They try and swim really aggressively to the bank. The best thing to do, and the safest thing to do, is to get on your back and float. Let your body get used to the cold water. And again,
if you're near the surface,
it's going to be cold. Yeah. So let your body get used to it. Calm your breath down, and then look around and work out your quickest route. And the best route is not necessarily at 90 degrees to the bank, because your listeners can't see this, but if you imagine the bank, that's two horizontal lines. The flow of the river is coming straight towards you. Imagine arrows coming towards you. If you swim at 90 degrees, the flow of the water will pin you in the middle of the river. If you angle your body at 45 degrees to the arrows or to the flow of the water and swim hard, you're not aiming at the bank, you're aiming sort of further. So if you're looking up, you're aiming at 45 degrees, you won't make that point, but the force of the water, the flow of the water, will push you to the bank naturally, and you will get to the bank. If you swim at 90 degrees to the flow, you'll tend to stay in the middle of the river.
It was as my conversation with Tim was coming to an end that the RNLI got their first call out of the day.
There's our pager.
So, there were reports that a group of teenagers were jumping off the suspension bridge at Teddington Lock, so the team went to have a look. Crew member Gianna took me through the process of what was happening as the RNLI RIB launched onto the Thames.
Somebody has called 999 and asked for the Coast Guard. They've clearly seen somebody in trouble in the water, or maybe around the water, or somebody's reported missing near the water.
And will that be in the immediate vicinity, or could that be anywhere along this stretch of the Thames?
Well, we cover from Hampton Court, Molesey Lock, right down to Richmond Half Lock. So that could be any of the water in that area. So we have two boats here, two D-class boats. So the reason for that is that one can go upstream through the lock. If it is upstream towards Kingston or Hampton Court, they'll have to go through the lock. If it's downstream, they'll go straight down. We also have the weir here at Teddington, so that's pretty dangerous. So again, we have two boats. So if somebody's in trouble at the top of the weir, one boat will go to the top of the weir and one will go to the bottom, because if that boat falls through the weir... I've actually rescued a lady. One of my first shouts, I helped rescue a lady who got stuck at the top of the weir. She didn't realise, going back to knowledge of the river, that you have to navigate on the right-hand side. So she was navigating on the left and ran out of river, stopped at the top of the weir, and her propeller got stuck in the ropes, which are there to stop people going through the weir, and she was stuck. She stalled her engine. It was a cold January night. So we launched one lifeboat to the top of the weir. And the other lifeboat waited in the pooling case. She actually said to me afterwards, what happened if I went through there? What was it like? And I said, it's like a washing machine. So yeah,
this is very dangerous. Is this your first call out today?
This is our first call out today, yes. We've had a couple last week. But it's inevitable, as we were saying earlier, when the weather is this beautiful, we are going to get people out on the river.
Fortunately, this time, no one was injured and the crew was able to issue some key safety advice, which includes respect the water and float to live. For more details on these initiatives and other work done by the RNLI, head to rnli.org.